Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, in association with Kosher 101.9 Radio Around the World in Carlsbad, New Mexico. We of Brit Am are located in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, and we represent an organization, Brit Am, that looks for the Lost Ten Tribes, searches for the whereabouts of the Lost Ten Tribes, concentrates upon this research, brings this research to the recognition of the public, and works with the reconciliation between the Jews, the present-day Jews, and the descendants of the Lost Ten Tribes. Lost Ten Tribes were lost. They were taken away before the rest of the tribes of Israel. They lost their identity. They're spoken of in the Bible. And the prophets predicted that in the end times, their identity would be made known unto them and also unto others. And that we are part of this process. This is what we are doing. We are trying to get this knowledge out. And that is, in effect, all we do. That is almost the limit of what we consider a task to be. It may not sound very much, but it is extremely important. And it is for the good not only of the Jews, but also of the Lost Ten Tribes. It is more for the good of others. It is more for the good of the Lost Ten Tribes. For those people who consider themselves Gentiles, or who are considered Gentiles by others, but who in effect are descendants of Israelites, we make known to them their identity. The present talk concerns the Parshat HaShavua. Parshat HaShavua, the weekly portion. As you know, the Jews have a custom to read the Bible every Shabbat. They read the five books of Moses, known as the Chumash, also known as the Torah. The term Torah can be applied to the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, or it can also be used as a generic term to apply to all sacred learning. No matter what the source, all sacred learning that is sanctified, that is acknowledged as being inspired. At all events, in the synagogue, we read every week a portion of the first five books of Moses, of the Torah. And this is quite a lot. It takes some time, anywhere from 20 minutes to 3/4 of an hour, depending upon how long the portion is and who's reading and what the situation is. But that is what it's done. It goes right, and so at the end of the year, they go right through all of the first five books of the Bible. And each week has its own section that is read. And this section is called Parshat HaShavua, the portion of the week. And it's also customary when religious Jews get together, or when they sit around the table on Shabbatot and the like, that they say something connected with the Parshat of the Shavua. Children also learn it in the schools, in the yeshivot, or they should learn it. And they also take turns in saying things that they learnt concerning this portion. And that is what we're going to consider at the moment. That is what we're going to speak about. We're going to speak about this week's portion, which deals with Noah, the story of Noah. In Hebrew, Noah is Noah. It's pronounced Noah. And our source is Genesis 6, chapter 6 to 11. And if you want some reading material on this subject, you can look it up on our website, www.britam.org. Go to the left-hand side and scroll down where you come to a link to Biblical Studies. Go there and that will take you to another link to the Chumash. And then from there, you will come to Genesis. You'll find a link to the Pentateuch. From there, they will take the first five books of the Bible, the very top subject. Click on it. That will take you to Genesis. Click on Genesis, and that will take you to a list of the regular portions. And the second portion is the subject of Noah. On the right-hand side of Noah, you will see a link. A link to the chat with chapter numbers. That will take you to the material that we are using now for this present talk. The portion begins, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Noah did what was right with God, according to the will of God, insofar as he understood it to be. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were destined to be the forefathers of all flesh, of all mankind, of all every human being alive in the earth, in the world today, is descended from one of these three sons of Noah. Continues, Genesis 6:11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The word here used here for violence in Hebrew is hamas, which also connotes theft or theft with violence. Next, verse 6:12 says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And traditionally, this is understood to mean that sexual perversions had taken over, they had taken control. All the perverts have begun to take control as they are taking control today, where we have homosexuals and all kinds of weirdos and all kinds of perverts doing things and doing them in public. And if that wasn't bad enough, they're also trying to impose their lifestyle upon others, or to persuade others to take up their lifestyle. And they don't care about age, or they don't care about vulnerability. They're not so liberal, they're not so respectful of other people's rights when their own lusts are involved. And this is what is happening today, and we should be aware of it. We should try and do what we can to prevent it. At least we should keep ourselves clean, go in the right path, and do what we can, whatever we can, to encourage others to also go in the right path. And we also should be aware that the Almighty is very angry that this is the situation. God does not like sexual perversion. It is very much against the Bible. And it goes on, Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he goes on and he tells Noah to make an ark, a big ship, or not actually, a big sailing vessel. It was in the shape of a rectangular box with three stories, a very large, very, very large building that was to float on the water. And he was to take 120 years in building it, so you can imagine what he could do in that time. And he was promised, behold, I will establish my covenant with you, and you should come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your son's wife with you, with and your son's wives with you. He's then told to take and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, to bring into the ark to keep them alive with you, male and female, and also of the birds, fowls of their kind, and cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort, two of every kind, which he told to take with them. And also to take supplies of food into the ark with him. And this is what Noah did. He did everything according to how God had commanded him to do. And the Lord said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for you have I seen righteous before me in this generation. This generation, so this has been given different explanations. Some of the sages said he was righteous in that generation, but everything is relative. If he had lived in another generation, he would not have come out so good in comparison with the people who lived at other times. Or, alternately, they say that he was righteous in his own generation, and even in another age, in a more righteous generation, he would have even been even more so. We learn from this that a person is to be judged according to his environment and according to his circumstance. We also learn that our environment determines much of our achievements. Sometimes a good person has no choice but to move elsewhere. This especially holds if one has a responsibility of raising children who are more vulnerable to the influence of others and of the surroundings. Even though we shouldn't kid ourselves, all of us are vulnerable. We can all be influenced by others, even if we aren't. Try not to be, and even if we don't always take notice of it, even if we're not always aware of it, we are influenced by the type of people we live with and the people around us. It's not such an easy thing to pack up and leave and move elsewhere, and no one promises us that somewhere else will ever even be better. But we do what we can as we can, and we should try to do as well as we can, and the Almighty will help us if we genuinely want to better our position, to better ourselves and better that of our family. The Almighty will help us. Enoch was also told, and every clean beast to take unto him by sevens, male and female, and a beast that I took not clean by two, the male and his female. In other words, of the unclean beasts, he's told to take two, male and female, and of the clean beasts, he's told to take seven, male and his female. This has been understood different ways. Some understand that he should of the clean beasts altogether take 14. Others say he should altogether take 6 with an odd one out. 14 seems to be the simple meaning. Whatever the case, we see from here that the principle of clean and unclean foods was known to Noah. It was known to the forefathers, it was known to the people, even before the time of the giving of the Torah, that humanity had an awareness of what animals are clean and what are not. And Noah was changed accordingly. The number of animals making a difference between the clean animals and the unclean animals, bringing more of the clean animals with him into the ark. Clean animals encompass sheep, goats, cattle, and deer, and giraffe, possibly other animals of their families. And we have four major types of clean animals. He's also told to take in of fowls, clean fowls, by sevens, male and female. And he was warned that in another 7 days, God would cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and everything that lives on the earth that will not be in the ark will be destroyed from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to unto all that the Lord commanded him. And then he was 600 years when he did this. And went in, he and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them, him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And he had already brought in the beasts, the clean beasts and the unclean beasts into him, and the birds. And he went into the ark. 7 days later, the flood waters came upon the earth. It began to rain. It was raining 40 day and night. And also the subterranean waters that were had at that time been were under the earth. The fountains of the great deep broke open. Apparently there are vast water supplies underneath the earth, and these broke open and they came out. Together with the waters from the rain that was coming down, they covered all of the earth. The rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There could also have been a disalignment of the moon and of the different heavenly bodies caused a gravitational upset that would also have pulled towards them, similar to the tides, an upsurge of the sea, which, in other words, similar to a giant tidal waves that encircled the earth, went round and around the earth, together with the rain, the waters, and the waters that were coming out of the depths. And Noah was in the earth, and was in the ark for 40 days. And after that, Noah came out of the ark. The ark rested on the mountains of Ararat, traditionally in the region of what is now Armenia. Over that region of Armenia, a present ruled by Turkey, the population of the area today is mainly Kurdish, but in the past it was mixed Kurds and Armenians. And the ark came to rest. Noah and his family came out of the ark. And God blessed Noah and his son, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He gave a blessing to mankind to be fruitful and multiply. And then was promised that the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Unto your hand are they delivered. All of creation, all of living creatures are given unto man, and man rules over them. Man has control over them. Man has control over the beasts. That was a blessing that was given unto Noah, and through Noah into all mankind. It was also permitted then to eat meat. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as a green herb have I given you all things. So some say up until that time mankind had been vegetarian, restricted themselves to a vegetarian diet, and after that was permitted to eat meat. But blood was forbidden. We have to be careful of eating blood, and we have to be careful of how the meat we do eat is slaughtered. Now, there are different laws in this regard, what is permitted to Jews and what is permitted for non-Jews. But all have a commandments that are given unto them. All have their own commandments, and all must do the best according to what they are commanded to do. And it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to be strict in this regard. It doesn't hurt to go a little bit beyond the minimum that you're required to do. And so, Noah was also warned that mankind is not to kill himself. Mankind is not to engage in violence, and mankind is not to commit suicide, not to harm himself, and not to carry out abortions. Genesis 9:6. We go back. Genesis 9:5. It says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require it, and surely your blood of your lives will I require it." In other words, if you take your own life, if you harm yourself, God will punish you. Don't think you're going to get away with it. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Don't think that you can do violence or hurt other people and get away with it, because God will punish you. And we should be aware of this warning. In 9:6 he said, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." So we have a principle that in principle, capital punishment, killing murderers, is condoned by the Torah. It is actually encouraged by the Torah, according to the simple meaning of the Torah at least. When we get down to the nitty-gritty, we see that it's not so simple, and that all kinds of additional requirements exist. It should be on the books, and it should be carried out now and again. That's what we learn. But whether we... that is there. It's there, and there are commentaries on it, and all kinds of discussions on these verses, and you're invited to look into this subject yourself, to reach your own conclusions. Just try and look, search for the truth, and see what the spirit of the Torah commanded us, and what the simple meaning of the Torah commanded us. And it also says, "Whoso sheddeth the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed." So this in Hebrew has a double meaning. Whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, shall his blood be shed. Ba'adam, it says. Whoever kills a man by a man, Ba'adam, his blood shall be spilt. That's how it can be read. Whoever kills a man by a man, his blood shall be spilt. In other words, whoever kills a man, according to the simple meaning, by another man, will his blood be spilt. It also says, can be understood to read, whosoever kills a man, Ba'adam, in a man, in a human being, his blood shall be killed, shall be spilt. In other words, whoever commits abortion is liable for punishment. Abortion is forbidden, according to the Torah. And he goes on, and verse Genesis 9:7, and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And then God establishes a covenant with Noah and with his sons, and with all the living creatures, and with all the beasts. And he promises that there shall no more be a flood to destroy the earth. And he says, as a token of this covenant between himself and man, they should look at the rainbow, because the rainbow will be set up as a remembrance, as a symbol to remember that God had established a covenant between himself and between man, that he would no more destroy the earth. And we read on further down, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them is the whole earth overspread. And then it says that Noah began to be a farmer, an agriculturist, planted a vineyard, made wine, got drunk with it, and he was disgraced by Ham through his grandson Canaan. So God cursed Canaan. Noah cursed Canaan. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Because Canaan somehow or other had been instrumental in causing his grandfather Ham to abuse Noah whilst he was drunk, asleep in drunkenness. So Noah cursed Canaan, and he blessed Shem. He said that Canaan would be his servant, and then he also blessed Japheth, and he said that Japheth in English, shall dwell in the shelter, in the tents of Shem, and Canaan should also be his servant. The name Japheth in Hebrew connotes widening, enlarge. Yafat, similar to the word fat in English. Fat means big, but plunging outwards. And that was a blessing given to Yafat, that Yafat would expand upon the earth and overtake a good deal of territory. After that, Noah lived 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Then he goes on to tell us the generations of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were born sons after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, and Magog, and Madai, and Yavan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tiras. And from these peoples came many Asian and European nations. Sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmah. Traditionally, Gomer and Ashkenaz are the Germanic people. Riphath are the Slavs and some of the Celtic peoples, and Togarmah are the Turkish peoples. And the sons of Yavan, Elisha and Tarshish, Chittim and Dodanim. And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mitzrayim and Phut and Canaan. Cush can apply to India. It can also apply to portions of Africa. Mitzrayim generally is taken to apply to Egypt, but also is applicable to other countries. We have Phut, we have Canaan, who lived in the Middle East in the area of Israel and Syria and Lebanon, and all the lands of Canaan were destined later on to be given to the children of Israel. And he goes on and he lists the descendants of his sons and some of his sons' descendants, and he speaks of Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord, apparently meaning a wicked person. And he said at the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Uruk, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And from that land went forth Ashur, and built Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth, and Calah, and resting between Nineveh and Calah, the same as a great city. And he continues in this, the descendants of Noah, and from these 70 descendants of Noah, descend all the peoples of the earth. All the peoples of the earth are descended from the sons of Noah and the grandsons of Noah. There are 70 of them listed in Genesis 10, which is interesting because later on we find 70 sons and grandsons of Jacob who went down to Egypt. And there are verses in the Torah that indicate that the 70 sons and grandsons of Jacob who became tribes and clans within the tribes, each one of them is paralleled by one of the Gentile nations. And after that, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And they went to the land of Shinar, somewhere in Mesopotamia apparently. Mesopotamia being present-day Iraq. Traditionally, this event took place near Babylon, or in Babylon. They decided to build them a big tower and reach up into heaven. And this was against the will of the Almighty. So he came down and he divided their languages. He confused their languages so that they couldn't understand each other. And then they scattered outwards. They dispersed. We find that unity is not always desirable. The unity of mankind is something that we always want, we always think should exist. We think that the more unity that exists, that unity is not always desirable. The unity of mankind, it does not always lead to good things. In this case, it was something that God did not want. They had plans to do things, to work together in a way, a direction that God did not find desirable, and therefore he divided their tongues, he confused their languages so that they could not understand each other. And so here, at the present time, we see that unity is not always a good thing when we have the United Nations. We have all these peoples of the world getting together with all their problems and afflictions and with all the terrible things that are happening all over the world, with people starving and slavery and wars and ignorance. What do they concern themselves with? What do they give their energies to? Condemning Israel, condemning the state of Israel. A good portion of all of the decisions, of all unilateral decisions in the United Nations and condemnations of Israel. And what has Israel done? Nothing but good. But that's what they have to, that's what they can give their energies to. That is the thing they can unite and agree to do, to get the Jew, to condemn the state of Israel, instead of getting down and fixing themselves up and helping each other. So we see from this that the unity of nations is not always a good thing, and From the very beginning when they tried it, when they built the Tower of Babel, it was something that was not a good thing. It was something that they were punished for, and it brought disaster upon the earth. And the portion goes on and continues and tells us of the sons and the grandsons and the descendants of Noah and of Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Yaphet, and what the names were, and it gives us a genealogical list, culminating in Abraham. Abraham was later to be called Abraham, He was the son of Terah. Terah was the son of Haran, and they were descended from Shem. And then it tells us that Abram and Nahor, Nahor being his brother, took them wives, and Abram's wife was called Sarai. Later, Sarai would have her name changed to Sarah. Abram and Sarah were the ancestors of the Israelite peoples. They also gave rise to Ishmael, from whom many of the Arabs are descended, and to Esau, from whom many of the European peoples also received their leadership. And that is the end of this week's Parsha. Next week's Parsha will continue and will tell us something of the life of Abraham and Sarah and what happened to them and the adventures that they experienced and the blessings that were promised unto them. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi thanking you and hoping that this talk was worth your while. May God bless you all. All the best.